Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the run-up to Christmas is the peak period for mobile phone sales in Ireland, with just over 5 million smartphones in the country and demand growing all the time, especially among young children and teens. So if you are you worried about what your child is doing online, what they're seeing online, who's talking to them, and possibly who might be bullying them? Well, Colin Baker is from Back to the Future, Tech and Repair and Cybersecurity, with some good advice for parents and guardians on what you can do without becoming a mini surveillance state in your own home. Colin, thanks for coming in.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. It's really good to be here, and for such a hot topic, a hot button topic at the minute.
For sure. And having a smartphone, you know, it's a great tool. People get stay connected with their friends. It's a great way of staying in touch and a great way of looking up information, tool for school projects and all of that. But apart from all of those positives, you do want to know how it's being used and what your child is doing on it.
You touched on part of the dilemma there, really, because the good gets in with the bad, or the bad gets in with the good, should I say. There is a necessity for technology. You can't really get away from it. And for kids, obviously, there's a lot of resources and homework and books all on digital now. So there is a reason for them to have substantial screen time already. But of course, what the content is, what they're using it for, and what other people might be using to connect to your kids nefariously, that's a huge dilemma. Then you throw in the various dramas. I put a straw poll up this morning on my Instagram page to sort of poll parents and see what was their behaviour like, what were their fears, what are they using to try and mitigate this risk. And I got a very broad spectrum of answers, from really frazzled parents who are engaged in World War III with their kids over
just the sheer time, is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then other parents who've been really, really kind of adopted technology very easily and quickly, and they're having really open conversations with their kids about it. I suppose it depends on the kids, depends on the parents, depends on their ages as well, because there's a broad spectrum there. When do you even start giving kids screens? I had a parent get onto me earlier talking about giving their twin two-year-olds phones. And you know, you're getting into dilemmas there. I don't have kids, so I try to stick to the technical responses.
Did you have, Katie, that the primary school ban, or did that come in after your kids' time?
Because we didn't have a ban, but I was very, very lucky, because we had a group of parents who are my friends' friends, where most of us together decided that we weren't giving phones to
our coalition
kids.
Of the unwilling.
Yeah, indeed. that was it. So there wasn't huge pressure on us, because their immediate friend group didn't have phones at that stage.
Well, that's where the pressure comes from, Katie.
Yeah. And that's a huge, that's it, yeah. I think, for a lot of kids. Because then once those kids start getting phones, then it's like they're all on Snapchat. I'm never going to be asked to do anything or hang out with anyone, or they're all talking about things I can't talk about. Yeah. Those are the problems that come then. So how do you navigate what apps you want your children to be on?
Well, for starters, I think it's important to say that it's not scaremongering to say that it is potentially very dangerous. It is like dropping your kid on O'Connell Street at midnight on a Saturday night and saying, now, find your own way home. It is, we're familiar with the normal push and pull of you know, territory out there and, you know, bad areas and wherever, you know, kids shouldn't be and misbehaviour, etc. But digital space is really difficult to navigate. Now, there is actually lots of free built-in solutions on your devices already. And that's what I'm always trying to tell people. And in fact, only in the last 3 or 4 months, there's new features coming out both on Google and on Apple.
Okay,
so and also on Windows as well.
Maybe start with the screen time thing.
Yeah.
What's their standard on phones, and how easy is it by going into your settings or however you do it to say, you know, I'm going to limit your screen time, and then it's up to you to budget how you use that limited screen time.
Well, we start off with the techniques. So there's obviously Apple iPhones and iPads, and then there's Google Android tablets and phones. And you might be an Apple family, you might be an Android family, you might be a mix of the two. They do start to talk to each other. For example, the Google have a thing called Google Family Link. That can be downloaded on your iPhone or on your Android phone as a parent and deployed or downloaded on the child's phone or tablet. And that provides a really broad, simple interface for control of, as you said, Colm, screen time, limitations of screen time during the day, content filtering, so even words and verbiage through that content and through third-party apps, everything within the Google ecosystem.
So you can
like
actually
YouTube.
Go in and, yeah. and say nothing.
On your phone, on your through phone. The Google Family Link, you have
and
a full suite
words.
Of settings. It's very instructional, very straightforward, totally free, and it works best inside the Google ecosystem. So YouTube, Gmail, Google Chrome, etc. Now, you can also put that, say you have an iPhone and your kid has an Android tablet or device, that's fine. You can download that Family Link. And in my experience, it works very well on both. And it's as good, if not better, than the Apple version. If you're an Apple family, it's, again, very, very straightforward to do. And Apple have usually won out on simplicity. First of all, you set up a child account. This is what people get wrong a lot of the time. They set up an account on another device and try and restrict it on that device, but kids will get around it. They'll set up it with a PIN code that's already on the device just to turn it on, and kids will get around these little safeguards. Whereas if you set it up on your phone, settings, family, add child, and then you give them a name, it'll automatically give them an Apple ID and then deploy that onto the new device that you've bought. If they've already got an Apple account, this is important.
That was my next question.
Don't set them. If they've already got an Apple account, you can integrate that as well. At the point where they suggest an Apple account, you can change that to the existing account. Parents often make the mistake, and we had one particular case where what they decided to do for simplicity was they would give the child their Apple ID and set the child's phone up with their Apple ID.
Okay.
And it was a nightmare because they were getting all the iMessage that the parent was getting. It was a okay. terrible, terrible nightmare, and we had to sort of reverse everything.
That thing you said about keywords, so you know, and making settings so they avoid certain things. There are ways around that, substituting numbers with vowels and whatever else, you know, where somebody will look for something else. So the open conversation bit you opened with there.
Look, we talked about
what's the best approach to that interaction.
There's four fundamentals about looking at what we cybersecurity experts call the vectors of attack. One is content. So looking, as you said, at filtering words, whatever device you're on, Windows does this, family.microsoft.com, you can set this up on your Windows laptop as well for your child, very, very similar setup. So content filtering, either through the apps they're using, the context, again, you can restrict the contexts or the contacts that they can interact with. Then you talk about contacts itself. So who can interact with my child?
Okay.
Where are they doing that? There's chat on Roblox. There's chat on GTA Online. There's lots of games that allow for that. There's a lot of third-party conversation apps, Telegram and the likes, that allow for that chat as well. All of it, yeah, lots of it possibly very innocent, but lots of it subject to harmful interactions as well. Then there's also the conduct side. This goes to your point about conversation. The parents I got straw polls and responses from today who seemed to have the best experience had very open, frank relations and communications with their kids about the genuine dangers out there, about what they're doing online. And they were honest about it instead of saying, oh, what are you doing there? And what's that game about? This is why I'm taking an interest.
Do you need to be on those apps yourself?
No,
to have
not
the knowledge
necessarily.
For that conversation?
And look, parents don't necessarily want to be playing Roblox half the day just so that they can entertain, you know, watch their kids. But it's actually great fun. But you don't need to be on it. The parents that I spoke to that had the best experience were very familiar what the kids were doing. They were using and keeping the devices in family spaces as well. So instead of it being a private, locked away in the room at night thing, it was an open, it was part of an allotment of time during the day. And most parents and families have that. Well, now's your homework time, now's your school time, now's your time for going outdoors and playing sports and whatever. They'd have an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is per day, and it's in a family open arrangement. The conversations are open, clear. kids are smart. I can see lots of kids, you know, meddling around these various safeguards. There's not a smarter kid than a kid who's trying to find a way to get what he wants through. And I've seen them hack iPhones and get through things that even I can't do as an expert. And so, you know, you've got to get down to the conduct level, their own attitude and approach. And fear to a degree of that genuine risk that's out there, and the ability to go to you and say, I am. There's a person trying to get to me here, or yeah, I found a bit of a weird thing going on Roblox there yesterday. Having that ability to go to you and be open about it, very important.
Okay, Colin, thanks a million for that. Colin Baker from Back from the Future. Thanks very much
Thank
for
you,
joining us on that. Plenty of food for thought.
Indeed, yeah, for all of us, indeed. Coming up now, after five, we will bring you the latest on President Zelensky's visit here to Ireland. We'll also go inside on Post Mail Centre as postal staff battle to keep your parcels moving this Christmas. Plus, from Taylor Swift to TV hits, we find out what pop culture trends will be shaping baby names for 2026.